You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Welcome this morning. You guys doing okay? Good, good. It's good to see some of you. And it wasn't but a few hours ago that I saw a couple families here at Bill's Donuts. They were there with me last night as well. So I was at Bill's Donuts, and I promised Donna and her family that if they come tomorrow, that they'll have more donuts because we picked up Bill's last night and I brought them in. Did you get a donut? Did everybody get a donut? Crazy story, man, as it goes. Last night at Bill's Donuts, I was there and just reading up on some stuff and watching some videos and stuff. We're going to play a video today and hear later in the message, and it's pretty neat. But in that, it was time to leave, so I picked up the donuts. There's 15 dozen donuts, right? It's a couple trips to the car, right? So we have all those in the back for you guys, the first service and second service, so be sure you take one. And I'm walking out to my truck, and it was the craziest thing in the world. This big guy, and he was hairy. He had a big beard, you know. And he said, hey, and he had a scruffy voice. He said, hey, those are my donuts. I'm like, what in the world, you know? I said, sir, I just paid for the donuts, you know. And he said, no, they're mine. And it's a crazy place. You ever been to Bill's Donuts on a weekend night? It's a crazy place over donuts, right? And so I didn't have my clergy badge. I didn't have anything, you know. I was just a normal guy. I was just walking, trying to get there, you know, to my truck and open up the car door. And so I dropped the first seven in, and I shut the door, and I hit the lock because he wanted to take the donuts. So I went back in and picked up the remaining. It was like seven more dozen, and I was carrying those boxes out. And I came back. I was hoping he was gone. He was still there. And he's like, hey, those are my donuts. I want my donuts. I said, sir, let's go in together, and we'll talk to the lady, and she'll tell you, I just paid for the donuts. I'm sure your donuts are in there, because they had stacks of these donuts. So I opened up my truck, and slid past him, and I don't know how, and I got in my truck, and man, he started yanking on my leg. And I had these donuts, and he's pulling on my leg. I was really kind of scared about it, you know what I mean? So I started kicking him, and then he grabbed my leg again. And he was trying to pull me out of the truck to get the donuts. Guys, I don't know that it's ever been like Easter Sunday and April Fool's, you know? But here's the deal. Just as he was pulling my leg, I'm pulling yours this morning, April Fool's. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy what Bill's Donuts will do, isn't it? It's just crazy. Do you guys really believe that? That's pretty good, man. That's great. Yeah, what's that? You were praying? Lynn was praying for me. That's not right. I don't know why God put April Fool's on Easter. It's just not good. But this is not April Fool's, right? In Luke chapter 24, 1 through 14, right? Here's what it says. But early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. And taking the spices they had prepared, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Amen. And so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. And the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" Man, that's a message in and of itself, is it not? "He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember that he told you back in Galilee that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then he remembered that he said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Luke 24, 1 through 12, read it. That is Easter. That's what Easter is about, right? No April Fool's in any of that. That is what Easter is and what it's about. Now, the scripture, as I just read,
is really where we want to land this morning. Where I hope to land this morning is all of us feel and experience that sense of relief, that knowing that God had been raised from the dead. And with that comes like this joy and this release. And with that comes this element of how a burden and a heaviness has been lifted. And that's where we all hope to land. That's where I hope to land here today, giving all of us hope. But the truth is, all of us this morning come in and we're buried with something, buried under something. We come in with heaviness and we come in with just a need for a new start or a fresh outlook. The need for something in our lives to be made new, becoming alive again. And when I talk about that, and when we look at Resurrection Sunday, and we look at the life of Jesus and how he arose from the grave, how do we take that and apply it to where we are and where we're sitting in life this morning? We say, well, it happened in the Bible, and that's just in the Bible. What is there does not translate to what I'm dealing with. And no judgment. There's times in my life and things that I deal with where hope is not there. Where you're trying to find answers to the solutions and the answers aren't coming. And the trouble sets in, very troubled in spirit. And there are times when I have trouble making that connection. I don't know if you all do. Are you with me here this morning? Do you struggle with that connection? Here we're celebrating this idea that Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave, and we're hearing about this joy, and we're hearing about all this, but when the rubber meets the road, does it apply to some of the darkest areas of our life? Look, when you're buried, it's dark. It was dark in that tomb, buried with bitterness, buried with grief, buried with strife, holding something against another. Maybe you're holding something against God. Maybe you're holding something against yourself. Maybe you're holding something against someone else. Look, there's this heaviness and lack of peace, and when we do this, we all have it. We all feel it, hurt by an offense that we've carried, and we just cannot forget what they've done to us, beaten down, covered up, and buried, is the words that kind of came to my mind. And the idea of an Easter message, the idea of being made new, the idea of experiencing new life, the idea of finding a way that can get out from under the offenses that have kept us down, well, it can be appealing. My prayer is that today that we land where we need to land. My prayer is today, God, help us this morning. Father, just be with us this morning and help us to get where we need to be to have that hope restored. That hope that a marriage can be restored. Hope that a miracle can take place. Hope that we can be relieved from the pain that we have caused by the choices that we've made or not made. The pain that had just been inflicted upon us because of the hand we've been dealt. There's this story. I like stories, especially a day like today. I want to tell a story. And there's actually two stories. The one story happened in the early 1900s. The other story is relatively new, and it would be told with this video. But the first story is about this lady named Corrie ten Boom, right? Wonderful lady. Just a wonderful lady. And she was in a church in Munich where she was speaking. And she was speaking, it was back in 1947. And she saw him, a balding, heavyset man in a gray overcoat. A brown felt hat that clutched between his hands and, And one moment she saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, she saw a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Memories of that concentration camp came back when she saw the man's face and she recognized him as who he was. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights and pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor and the shame of walking naked past this man. She could see her sister's frail form ahead of her, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of her skin. And Betsy, and she had been arrested for concealing Jews in their home. She was Dutch, a Dutch jeweler and watchmaker, her dad was. And she and Betsy and her dad, her family, were concealing the Jews, trying to help them. And they were caught. And they were caught, and they were held in this concentration camp called Ravensbrück. And now, here he was in front of her, hand thrust out, and he says, "A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." And she gives testimony to this. And here's what she says. I'm just going to read it. "It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there. But since that time," he went on, "I have become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well." And he says, "Fraulein," and again with his hand out, "will you forgive me?" And he went on to say he had prayed to find one of his prisoners that he could seek their forgiveness. And there he was, and there he stood with his hand out. And Corrie ten Boom said that she could not forgive him. Betsy, her sister, had died in that place, and she just couldn't reconcile the fact that any of this would erase her terrible death simply for the sake of asking for forgiveness. And so here she was, like many of us, she was in a place where we are, beaten down, covered up, buried by an unforgivable offense. And so this morning, I just want to ask you this. It's kind of a twist with a normal Easter message. The word that came to me was just, it was forgiveness. Is there an offense that you've carried that has buried you? Offense that you have right now. An area of your life where you've just not been able to reconcile. And you've been hurt, you've been beaten down, And there's pain and shame that's been brought upon you, and you've just been left in a really dark place. God, help us. Help the offense. You can't shake it off, just like Corrie ten Boom. She could not shake it off. Triggered, looking at him, thinking of how her sister died at his hand. And so she goes on and she testifies to this. She says, and granted, this is after giving a message, right? She says, "It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition," she says, "that we forgive those who have injured us. And if we do not forgive men their trespasses," Jesus says, "neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." "Still I stood there," she says, "with this coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will. and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. And Jesus, help me, she prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling, she prayed. And so woodenly, mechanically, she says she thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. Now listen to this, guys. The current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then his healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. And she says, I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. And she says, I have never known God's love so intensely as I did then. How would you like to know the love of God as intensely as this? I would. When we talk about the Resurrection Sunday, this is an example of that resurrection, resurrected life being lived out and somebody coming to life, being made new and coming out from under what she was buried in. And here's the thing, just like her, just like this lady, all of us have areas of our life that are buried, and God wants us to understand that this day, this what we celebrate here is a means by which God can raise up those areas that have died within us to life and make us whole and make us new. When you seek forgiveness, however small or however big, there is a newness, a coming to life, a new day, as if you arise from where you have been, beaten down, buried, and covered up. And here's the application to all this. How many times do you make it right with your wife or make it right with your kids? And how do you feel? Isn't it a relief, a release? Come on now, right? God wants to reveal to you areas that you've been beaten down, buried, and covered up. And he wants to grab a hold of you and raise that area of your life back to life, raise it up and back to life. Read and look here. Actually, during Good Friday Communion, there was a scripture that we read. Here's what I want to share with you. Look, Isaiah 53, 3 through 9. Here's what it says. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. And we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. And we have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of people, and he had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, the scripture says. Folks, this was Jesus. And before we can experience that resurrected life, man, God wants us to experience forgiveness. In Luke 23, 34, it says this, Jesus said to them, while he's on the cross, folks, going through all that suffering, he says this, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing more dice, right? But what did Jesus do prior to the resurrection? What did he do? He forgave, did he not? And that same forgiveness is that forgiveness that spirit of forgiveness is what he wants to give each one of us. He wants us to forgive, and he wants us to be forgiven. And when you're forgiven, you experience that new life that we have been talking about. Now, There's a second part to this, and we're almost done. But here's the deal in this second part. It's very hard to forgive when we can't forgive ourselves. Some of us carry unforgiveness for ourselves, things that we've done, things that where we've fallen short or hurt other people. God wants you this morning not just to forgive others. He wants you to forgive yourself and allow him to forgive you. So I want to share with you this video. Watch it, and we'll close the service.
How long has it been since you've seen your family?
Close to 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
What's been the hesitancy?
Because I've messed up so many times before. You know, they've heard me say sorry 1,000 times. I'm originally from Korea. My family and I moved here when I was 6 years old. In my culture, the family name means a lot. There's expectations attached to it. I brought a lot of shame to my family because I didn't uphold those expectations. I had a heroin addiction for over 20 years. The consequences are tremendous. I ended up alone on the street, and I lost my family.
Brenda, Father God, thank you for waking us up this morning, clean us over in our right mind. Thank you for this food we're about to eat. Bless the hands for Brenda, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I live here at the Union Rescue Mission. Place to recover your soul and transform your life. I've been here for the past year and a half. Having to trust in God was really tough. I came to the realization of having to surrender. That's what he intended for me. Because of my pride and wanted to be in control, he had to humble me. You only feel his grace and his love for you when you surrender to him.
This mission, this ministry exists to advance the kingdom of God. We want to follow the master. We want to be a part of the kingdom. Forgiveness is a part of the redemption. Restoration is a part of the process. That's why we're here.
Forgiveness is a word to me that was foreign in the sense that I had asked for forgiveness numerous times from my family, but in all reality, I wasn't able to forgive myself for what I've done.
Jesus is saying if you're going to be in the kingdom, you need to come to terms with the work of forgiveness in your own heart. Don't do any of this alone. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody.
I'm realizing that community is necessary. We have to be in relationships. We have to answer the hard questions. That's how we grow.
So your brother sent you a friend request on Facebook. Why has that been sitting in your inbox for a month and you haven't responded?
And I put off contact and or trying to reconnect with my family because I always felt like I needed to bring something to the table, you know, but I'm not held by those expectations anymore.
Why are you ready now? What's different about today?
I feel like, you know, his friend request is telling me they're ready to forgive, or I say they. He symbolizes my family right now.
And you're ready?
I'm ready to make it happen, or let it happen.
Amen.
Amen. This is it. Can't believe everybody's so grown up now. Oh, wow, there's my dad. That's my dad.
mean, since you've seen a picture of your dad?
10 years.
You don't have a picture of him? You don't keep pictures of your family?
No, I lost everything that, And it was easier to deal with not having any, reminders, you know. I wasted a lot of time. Too long. I would like to make amends with all of them, you know, if possible. But with God, I feel like everything's gonna be okay, no matter what. This whole past year and a half is like a whole new life. God has slowly been restoring me. I relied on heroin to be the answer to everything. Now, I leave it to God. I'm just a lost child that, you know, has come to realize and trust in God. That's it.
I went to Chris this week. I'm like, Chris, man, I feel like God wants me to speak about forgiveness for Easter Sunday. And I'm like, you know, I mean, it's easy to talk about hope. You know what I mean? It's easy to talk about new life and everything. And I just had trouble trying to reconcile this whole idea of forgiveness. And I don't know why. It just shows how maybe shallow I am, I guess. But Chris says to me this. He says, Ryan, he said, think about it. When you go and make right with someone, how do you feel? Man, then I begin to realize, you know what? This does apply. Forgiveness applies. And forgiveness is a way that we can take this message, this Resurrection Sunday message, and take it out into the world and share it with other people. This morning, if you're feeling buried and covered up, and you just feel like there's an area of your life that has died, and you feel like you need to make something right, when you begin to make that right, just like Corrie Ten Boom, when we read that energy that came through her hand and her body, and she felt that, and then that intensity, that intense love and overwhelming feeling of God's grace, that's what begins to happen. And that's how we make, that's just one way that we can make this day come to life. Live out this in an everyday kind of way. Forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 19, it says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, which I believe is all tied and rooted and found in the ability to forgive. Let's all stand. Jesus, we come to you today and we just pray that you would give us a fresh perspective to see the full extent of your forgiveness. And Lord, as we look to you and how you forgave, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, that you would forgive me, that you would forgive each person that's here. For the times that they have unknowingly or that we have knowingly sinned against you. And I pray the same forgiveness that I receive from you, may it overflow into the forgiveness that I can extend to others. In Jesus' name. The full extent of Jesus' forgiveness extends beyond your greatest sins, folks. It allows you to extend it beyond the greatest sins that others have committed against you. And what is one offense you have yet to forgive someone for? Man, if this is really all about Easter and Easter dresses, and we dress up for it, don't we? I mean, Don Fricke's in a tie this morning. He dressed up for it. Randy's got a sport coat on too. But you know what, guys? Seriously, to live this out in an everyday kind of way, this is a way that we can apply it and a way that we can use it. And I believe that when you begin to tap into that, man, God will pull you out from under, give you fresh perspective, new experience. You'll see and feel the love of God and His grace come and flow in you, reviving you and making you new. God, may it be so. Lord, in these final moments here this morning on this Easter Sunday, we pray that you would forgive us. Folks, if you need to be forgiven this morning, just ask God to forgive you. Just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for falling short. Forgive me for ignoring you and remaining in that dark place. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Now, as you ask God to forgive you, let's transition that now. Let's ask each other to forgive ourselves. Can you do that? Lord, all of us here have made horrible choices and decisions. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and left us in a place where it's just really hard to forgive ourselves. Lord, this morning we ask you would forgive us. That you'd forgive me. Just say, God, forgive me. Help me forgive myself. God, help me forgive myself. In Jesus' name. And as you forgive yourself, now let's transition that. God, all of us have been hurt by other people, by the choices that others have made. Lord, we've been hurt by situations. We've been hurt by the hand we've been dealt. And God, we need to forgive. We may need to forgive you this morning. We may need to forgive someone else. Just pray that. God, in the name of Jesus, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Help me to forgive you for the hand I've been dealt, what I've gone through, what I've experienced in this life that I did not deserve. And God, help me to forgive those that have offended me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, when you walk out of here today, think of someone that you can share that spirit of forgiveness with. Because when you do that, you then share with them Easter Sunday. God bless you.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.